Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Bud Pod 95. Is 95 something?
95, fine and alive. 95. 95. It's quite a nice number. We're into the golden era of the 90s here. 95. That feels like one of the good years. It was one of the years that things get named after.
Yeah. Yeah, 95 was one of those years where you look back and you think, yeah, you'd feel pretty good about stuff if you were alive then. A lot of good stuff was happening pretty much everywhere except the Balkans.
That's right. Sorry, Balkans, but everyone else is having a pretty good time. 95 is in a lot of old commemorative T-shirts that people still have.
Yes, maybe. That's a good point. Yeah, the random little T-shirts you can get from like TK Maxx.
Yeah.
What is the deal behind those? When you see one where it's like Spotswood Young Men's Athletic Association, Indiana 98, Go Bulldogs, and you're like, what the? Is this real?
It's like, we know you made this to sell here in the UK, so have you made a boating club up, or is this a real one?
Yeah, am I expected to have heard of the boating club?
Were they famous for their polo shirts and and were so sick they branched out into selling just polo shirts to people who weren't even members? Is that how this brand started? I don't understand.
I don't understand.
Was there a year when everyone was into like boating? Was there a year when boating was widespread and everyone did it?
I don't understand how those shirts get made, and I don't understand how TK Maxx gets a hold of one of them.
Yeah, TK Maxx is it's like someone turned a junk shop into a chain.
Yeah.
It's like a rag and bone man became a millionaire and made and created an empire of rag and bone shops. Across the country, TK Maxx doesn't sell more than one of any item. And you have to just be lucky that... Like, I remember when we were at uni, I went to TK Maxx and I bought a pair of black diesel boots / trainers. And I didn't see another pair in the shop of any size. And I've not seen that shoe ever again since.
I think that part of the reason it works as a chain is exactly that sort of semi-real, semi-artificial scarcity. Because the high you get from being like, I did it, I got this, makes you keep coming back for more.
Yeah, I did it. I got the one felt bowl in tier. I got it. The last bowl made completely of felt. I got it. It was the only one in the TK Maxx Cambridge, and I got it.
I got the last heavy woolen dark blue blazer with a lotus flower pattern lining in the world.
Possibly the only one ever made.
Possibly the only one ever made. Is it cut for someone with a huge beer belly? Yeah. It's such a weird
shop. And you know what I don't understand about retail?
Yeah.
Which is something I have to confront every day of my goddamn life. One of the many things I don't understand about retail is what makes one shop fail while a seemingly identical or similar shop doesn't? Like, why has Debenhams failed, but TK Maxx has held on? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I don't get that either, because as you say, Debenhams is this huge chain in the UK and has this long history behind it, and everyone has a sort of, you know, vaguely affectionate things to say about it, whereas TK Maxx sells random shoes and sort of stuff by the counter, like Himalayan sea salt. That seems to always be by the counter.
That's right. Yeah. It's like WHS became a teenager. So it's not like sweets at the counter, but like tattoos and piercings.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you know how old... I pulled this fact up on when I was on Have I Got News For You recently. But Debenhams, the same year the first Debenhams shop was opened in London, Captain Cook, is it James Cook, landed on Hawaii.
Whoa.
So the first Debenhams was opened the same time the first ever European landed on Hawaii. The first time Hawaii became like part of the Western consciousness, Debenhams opened their shop.
Do you think they managed to get the announcement out to Captain Cook?
The Debenhams is open. Yeah, that's the only reason he left Hawaii. That's the only reason he left. Why? Beautiful people, as many coconuts as I want, the most beautiful vistas the world has to offer. Why would I ever leave? Captain, they've just opened a huge shop in London where you can buy jumpers and folders and makeup, and that's kind of it, actually. And he went, by Jove, I'll have to go. Sorry, Hathaway, but
he turned.
My country calls.
Yeah, he turned to King. I think it's Kamehameha, isn't it? Kamehameha or Kamehameha?
It's the Street Fighter move.
Yeah. He turned to him and he said, "Do you have an in-store burger chain?" And the guy said some stuff in Hawaiian, and he just said, Captain Cook just waved his hand and went, "I'm out of here. You guys carry on the colonizing and murdering without me."
Yeah, there aren't nearly enough shirts here that are simultaneously fun and adult.
I can't get a light pink pinstripe here. For God's sake.
Yeah, I forgot it's called Kamehameha.
Yeah. I do remember reading that somewhere and thinking, what made someone find that out and think, that sounds like some kind of shooting force out of your hands?
Was it named directly after him?
Well, I mean, what are the odds they just made that up and it sounds exactly like him?
I would say hi.
Really?
I would say there's a high probability that if you just came up with a bunch of syllables, someone in the past has been called that.
That's true. And to be fair, Kamehameha is all very sort of like, it's all very like attack soundy, isn't it?
That's right. It's like a war cry.
Yeah, whereas if you picked random syllables for something that shoots like a beam of pure energy out of your hands, you wouldn't choose floopy, floopy, floop.
Oh, wait, Kamehameha is from Dragon Ball, not Street Fighter.
Yeah. But they do say it in Street Fighter, don't they, as well?
Oh, do they? Oh, I'm just getting up. Goku here. Oh, no, that's because I've searched Kamehameha Goku. Street Fighter.
It's definitely in...
Yeah, it is also Kamehameha, yeah. Oh, no, Hadouken, that's it.
Street Fighter's Hadouken.
When is Kamehameha? What? Yeah, this is... Oh, now, where has this article been my whole life? From 2009. So what came first? Hadouken or Kamehameha?
Hold on to your hats, folks.
Oh, it's not an article. It's like a chat room, obviously.
It's just a bunch of people misspelling words and using way too many old school message board emotes when they're being rude to each other.
No, it's just one of these nerdy ones where everyone's just very genuine and just trying to answer the question and actually trying to be helpful.
Do you know what? Sometimes I find these kind of message board posts from the dying days of message boards and you'll see that, like, someone's posted the query that I'm asking, you know, something about Photoshop or oh, this thing doesn't work or whatever. And then one of the replies will be from a guy who's like a sort of legendary figure on the message board.
Yeah, he's got like the equivalent of like general's medals.
Yes, yes.
For like wirefixer.org. And he's got like 5 stars and like trusted contributor or something.
Yeah,
added to his name.
And if it's like a fun forum, it'll be like legendary member, and he's got like emerald diamond like pixel gifs all over his thing. And like,
yeah, you expect him to have like one eye that's completely whited out, and with like a scar going across it, and he walks with a cane.
Yeah, and then on his profile, like under his picture, it'll be like 82 million like upvotes or posts, or and you're just like, Jesus Christ, this guy
is
knows.
Is this all you do?
This is all. And then yeah, and his like little message board post signature will have a kind of ruby border or something, sparkling. And my question, whenever I see those guys posting in their little profiles, is what happened to you? Because they're always like that. No one uses message boards anymore, or at least not to the same extent they did. And I always look at those guys' profiles and think, this was clearly your life.
It was. It was. But it, and I'm so glad they did, because now it's like, it's like unearthing ancient dwarven textbooks or something. It's like all these questions I have about my computer. I look up and someone in 2007 answered a question on a forum somewhere. And who knows where they are now, if they're alive, what they're doing. But I'm glad they wrote this down.
It's funny, isn't it? What will happen if in like 2050 that everyone's like, look, we can't keep storing the whole internet. We have to at least delete the porn. At least the porn from pre-2030. We can't. It's too much.
Okay, so here I'm on an anime forum, and it seems...
Wash your hands.
What?
Wash your hands.
Why?
I'm just implying it's full of dirty masturbators.
Oh, right. Oh, like, no, I'm clearing my history straight after this, just in case.
It's like Medusa. Don't look too closely at any of the anime, Phil, or you'll become a weeb.
And it looks like I was right. It is a complete coincidence.
Really?
In Japanese, Kamehameha means turtle destruction wave. I don't know why turtle.
Beg your pardon?
Turtle destruction wave.
Isn't that just how Cheryl Cole would say total destruction wave?
It's a turtle destruction wave, Pitt.
Turtle destruction wave.
Where is Geordie Dragon Ball? Where is it? I want it now. I'll read man.
How we? That's Freezer.
Wait.
Dragon Ball Vidazane pet. There's something there.
Oh, wait. Oh, okay, actually. I'm gonna give him the name of Kame. Right. So actually, you're actually a bit right. Right. So Kame is the attack, the type of attack that the Kamehameha is, and the creator of Dragon Ball, who I think is Akira Toriyama, asked his wife, who came up with the name. She told Akira that it would be easy to remember the name of the attack if he uses the name of a cultural Hawaiian king named Kamehameha. And in Hawaiian, it means the very lonely one, or ooh, the one set apart.
Oh.
Yeah, poor, what a sad name for a king.
Yeah, that's not a name for a king. That's a name for a kind of, that's the name for an album by some very boyish young men with eyeliner and floppy hair that got released in about 2006.
The very lonely one.
Yeah.
Yeah, or it's like a superhero from an Alan Moore book.
Yeah. It's one of Alan. So depressing. Even Alan Moore was like, "Well, I've got to delete this." People can't cope.
So, in the most satisfactory of all outcomes, it seems, Pierre, we are both a bit right.
Yes, in
that it does mean some kind of destruction wave in Japanese, and also the name of the Lion King. I imagine that's where turtle comes from in the Japanese translation. In that, that's just an unfortunate random bit of translating the Hawaiian king named Kamehameha.
It's amazing, isn't it, that even when Japanese is in Japanese, it still has baffling sections of randomness to it. Do you think... I guess that's what happens with Japanese a lot, right? Because if you have a syllabic language, there are only so many consonants and vowels.
That's true... But, I mean, it's certainly more the case for Mandarin, because in Japanese you can link syllables together to create a word, which is broadly similar to English.
Yeah.
But in Chinese, it's very strictly one word is one syllable, and there are only so many to go around.
Oh, yeah.
Mandarin is a bit more like German in that sense, in that you just have this... a set number of words, and you have to link words together if there's something new has come about that you don't have the word for.
Okay.
So, like, that's how in Chinese you end up with words like business goose for penguin. And
is that true, though? I thought that wasn't true.
It's like, I looked up the definition, is like enterprise goose, or it's something of that ilk.
That explains why every now and then, if in the before time when things were allowed, you and I would go to a Chinese eatery, and I would ask you to dredge up some of your long lost Mandarin alphabet knowledge for parts of the menu. But then it was always so interesting to me that every now and then there'd be something where you could read what the main thing was, but you still had no way of discerning what it was.
Well, I'd be able to like read like three of the words, and it'd be like fried stones pot. And you go, what's fried stones? They're definitely not fried some stones. So is there some sort of crustacean in there that looks like a stone?
Yeah, it would always be something like green reversed beef. And we'd sit there and be like, reverse beef.
But it's beef in reverse.
Phoebe.
Speaking of reverse beef, how was your Christmas Day lunch?
So some some delicious Phoebe. Delicious Phoebe roast. It was fine. I had already, before we were put into tier 4, I had already evacuated.
Whoa.
That's how afraid I was of coronavirus. I'd already evacuated, so I managed to be with some family at least.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah.
There's a funny thing, but your friend and mine, George Fouracres, the comedian and actor, was in tier 2, which then became tier 3, which then became tier 4, all within like a week or something. And he felt, he said, a curious guilt, even though he'd done nothing wrong, because he was already there. And I know what he means. You do feel like you've slipped under the thing, Indiana Jones style, you know.
Yeah, it's a kind of survivor's guilt.
Quickly kinda grabbing your mask instead of your hat, like Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, it was nice. Just me and my sister at home. We had some roast duck legs, which is really delish. Just really simple meal. Like the first Christmas lunch I can ever remember where there were no leftovers. Like, we made exactly the amount that we needed for that day, and there was nothing left over. There's like a couple of beans left, but there isn't a mountain of turkey or a mountain of Brussels sprouts or anything. We just made what we needed,
and very responsible.
There was a real satisfaction to that. Especially when, like, I got sent photos of like friends who like had an entire turkey between three people. It's like, well, what do you need to do that for? I went down to the butcher's on was it Christmas Eve, like early in the morning on Christmas Eve, just to see if we could get, or maybe even the 23rd, to see if we could get a full duck, because I thought, that's about a responsible size of bird to have between two. And I got there, and the queue out of this butcher was, I'd never seen anything like it, man. It snaked and snaked and went down the street and then curled around and came back up it and then went off a side road. And I just took a video, sent it back to my sister. It's like, we'll just have the legs. And I just walked home. A friend of mine, what was more committed, she went early in the morning to her butcher's. And even then she was in the queue for 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours?
2.5 hours queuing outside. And at the end, she got a chicken. She got a chicken.
A chicken?
Yeah.
Presumably, that's not what she had dreamt of.
I can't bring myself to press her on that. I presume it wasn't, but I have to be supportive and say, "Oh, well done, good." I mean, to be fair to her, even like we couldn't see chickens in our supermarket either. Like a full chicken, they were gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny thing of like, how can the shortages thing just seems insane, because were there really that many chickens on those lorries, you know? Actually, I guess it's kind of like that every year. Everyone does just go fucking apeshit, don't they?
That's true. It's usually hard to... people usually have to book, like, your turkeys. But I think what's happened in London because of the timing of the new restrictions is that... I don't think London usually stocks for that many Christmas birds because so many people leave London for it.
Yes.
Whereas suddenly this year... And then countrywide, it was the case that people assumed Christmas was going ahead late enough that all these families bought a full Christmas dinner and then found out that they couldn't. So then the people left over in London bought, as it were, a second round of Christmas supplies.
A Christmas dinner for the road.
And so, you know, but we got out of it fine.
That's true. Yes, I often wonder about that. Because in my head, the only way the shortages make sense, if there's some mental family out there where someone's just gone, well, we'll need a turkey for most of the days, right? Each?
Every day a new turkey.
Yeah, every day a new beast is unveiled.
How did the turkey end up being... because that's an America bird. That's an American bird, right?
Yeah. I think it's another one of the sort of late Victorian things.
Yeah, because he gets a turkey in A Christmas Carol, right? Or is it a goose?
If it's a turkey or a goose, but they definitely... I think it's because turkeys fatten up so nicely and are so big and breasty.
Yeah.
So I think they were sort of well known as these like giant, like ludicrously easy to fatten up birds. Even in the Victorian era, people were just like, bloody hell.
Yeah. Yeah. God, can you imagine how lucky you felt when you just discovered America... well, discovered in inverted commas, but I discovered America And you're like, I hope this place can sustain me. And just balls of meat are wandering around the forest. And they're incredibly easy to kill. They're really dumb. And they're slow. And they're easy to hit. And they're full of meat.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's well. The settlers originally ate so much corn that they didn't have any some chemical that you need, dextrin or something that you can't get if you just eat corn, and you have like strokes and dementia and you go mad.
Ooh.
The early settlers didn't know how to cultivate stuff in their terrain. They had some like weirdly, which to me is weird because it's like, well, aren't you already fucking farmers? What's the, you know?
Were they farmers, or were they just religious nutcases that had to like pick up farming skills as they went?
Yeah, but in those days, in my head, it's like, well, what were you if not a farmer? You're not a graphic designer.
maybe society had reached enough an advanced enough stage of specialization that you could just be a churner, like you just churned butter, but. Further up the chain, you were useless.
Well, if anyone needs me to wank them off, I have the skills, but otherwise... handouts of corn. I'm trying to look this up. The story of Jamestown is horrific.
Jamestown?
Yeah, the first sort of major settlement in the north, like the where we'd call the United States, like 1601 or something, maybe earlier.
Well, they went nuts because they just ate too much corn.
Well, they had this weird corn thing happening, and they also... Oh, God, yeah, they dismembered and cannibalized a 14-year-old girl. They found a grave with that on. Oh, yeah, I'm just saying that. They're starving and under siege and freezing cold and... Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same reason I'd never get the new PlayStation straight away. It's like, let other people figure out the kinks in this new world, and then I'll come in when things are smoothed over. I would have had, I think, the same approach to America. They're like, oh, Phil, wow, you know, they discovered this new place. It's bigger than anything we've ever known, and it's just full of balls of meat that are easy to kill. You should come. And I'd be like, I'm going to wait it out. And then Jamestown happened, which is sort of like their cyberpunk 2077. And I've gone, see, I was right. Because there's obviously some things here that need to be fixed. Some bugs.
Yeah, well, this back. Is it. So I'll
come back
this.
when they release the America Slim.
Yeah. The bug fix for America.
I think that's probably the next... stage of turn America off and on again.
Yeah.
Is there a patch due on America soon? Let's start that.
I was just thinking exactly that. It's like can't wait for the developers to put a fix in for this one.
Oh, this new version of America's got a lot of bugs in it. be looking out for the update.
Could the devs nerf the power of racism in America, please? Could we nerf that?
You know, currently white supremacists are a bit overpowered. It's actually not a very balanced game.
Could we nerf them and maybe buff democracy? Yeah.
What's nerf?
Nerf is when you like. Let's say that you're. You've got like Call of Duty or whatever. If a gun is too powerful, they release a patch that nerfs it, so it makes it more like a Nerf gun.
Ah.
So it reduces the power, and then buffing is increasing.
Right.
That's the irony, Phil. I make these jokes and I know exactly what the terms mean.
Yes, but yeah, but you're a professional gamer. No. That makes sense.
You're not. They say you're not a professional gamer until you either have diabetes or RSI on the wrist.
Speaking of online gaming, I've been really getting into my chess.
Yes,
I want to give a shout out to Podbud Gabriel, who's been giving me a lot of chess tips and been helping me improve my technique. So thanks, Gabriel.
Nice.
Yeah, he's been real great. Been teaching me some of the basics. Showing me the ropes.
What's the most mind-bending thing that he's taught you?
The most mind-bending thing. The value of the value of damaging your opponent's pawn structure and also preserving your own pawn structure.
Yeah.
So, for instance, and I'm reticent to be saying this to you, Pierre, as we're always playing a game. But so, say you're thinking about swapping a bishop for a bishop. It's worth it if by doing so your opponent has to move a pawn in front of another of his other pawns, because you want to avoid double pawns because they get in each other's way. Double pawns being when there's one pawn directly in front of another instead of next to it.
Yeah, you don't want double pawns is too much pawns.
It's too much pawns. You're getting addicted to pawns.
You're not going to be able to enjoy real life if you're so obsessed with pawns.
Yeah, I've been spending too much time recently on online pawns. I've been looking at online pawns a lot recently, Pierre, and that's not a lie. A lot of online pawns.
Look, the main thing that you got to teach your kids when they look at pawns is that that's not what real people look like. If you show them, two pawns. You know, one takes takes a bishop. That's not how it works.
You know what I've always wondered and would love to know is the history of the imagery in chess pieces. Like only the knight looks anything like what it's supposed to be. It looks like a horse, and the queen and the king, I guess you could say those are crowns on top.
Mm.
Okay, I guess all I'm... And actually, the rook looks like a car. I guess all I'm asking is, why does a bishop look like a circumcised penis?
Well, I mean, the whole game comes from, India / the Persian Empire, right? So it must have been, some other thing, and we just went... Some medieval guy just went, oh, that's a bishop, I reckon.
Right.
Who else would be next to a king?
Famous for their... For their combat prowess.
Yeah, no bishops throughout history known for their combat prowess, but very few.
Yeah, how cool to be a battle bishop. A war bishop.
A war bish.
Yeah, yes, I guess the bishop pieces look like a big pope hat at the top. That looks a bit like a pope hat.
It's definitely it definitely resembles a kind of mitre of some kind. Yeah, a little popey bishop hat.
That's right.
It's it's interesting that I looked up where checkmate comes from.
Okay.
Apparently,
it's because chess was originally Australian.
Yes, it was invented by an Australian, and he had to send it around the world because every time he tried to explain how to play chess to one of his friends when they were out, they got the bill and left. That's what their friends would say every time he'd go, "So this new board game I'm working on," and they'd go, "Oh, checkmate," and then they'd just leave. They'd pay the friends, and they'd flee. But apparently, it's a corruption of Sheikh Mat, and Sheikh is in the king, and Mat apparently in Farsi or I don't know Persian, whatever the language was, I can't remember, is dead. So Sheikh Mat, it means the king is dead.
Oh, Sheikh Mat, and do you think is there some sort of Indo? What's that main language of families that basically comes out of the middle of Eurasia?
Indo-Aryan?
Can't say Aryan anymore, Pierre, on a podcast, I'm afraid. But do you think that Mart has anything to do with Mort?
Ooh, now you're telling me. Now you're telling me some interesting things. Maybe. Let's see.
Sheikh Mart. I like that. Sheikh Mat. So the king's dead. Checkmate.
Let's see. Etymology. Oh, yeah. Okay. So an alteration of the Persian phrase Shah Mat, which is the king is helpless. Mat applies to the...
I like that. That's a lot more dramatic. The king is helpless.
The king is helpless. Others maintain that the king is That's dead because like, it came from Arabic and
that's
Mata
why he's so
means
lonely.
Died or
the lonely
dead.
King is helpless.
the lonely a shepherd loser, king lonely is helpless king. And dead. Ooh.
Sorry, you were saying?
It's all there's all sorts of tedious debates. Sheikh Mat, yes. So there's a debate as to whether it's the Arabic version or the Persian version, but it's the same thing.
Right.
In modern Arabic, the word mat or met depicts a person who has died open-mouthed, staring or confused or unresponsive. The word stupefied or stunned bear close correlation. So
that's a very specific definition for such a short word.
Yeah.
Mat.
Mat. So a possible alternative would be to interpret mate or mat as unable to respond. A king is mate or sheikh mate. When the king is unable to respond. Okay, that makes sense
okay,
too.
Okay, okay.
It makes sense from every goddamn angle.
Yes. Yes. Much like a helpless king. It is being attacked from many different angles at once.
It's, Before about 1600, chess could also be won by capturing all of the opponent's pieces, leaving a bare king. This style of play is now called annihilation or rubado.
I like that.
Rubado.
Okay. Rubado.
Rubado would be a very...
Annihilation chess.
Rubado would be a very fun thing to yell as you punch someone who's not looking in the side of the head. Rubado! As you just sucker punch someone who's not looking at you. They're busy doing something else.
There are some really great terms in chess. Vienchetto.
What?
That's most delicious sounding. Vienchetto is when
delicious.
It's when you get one of your bishops on the longest diagonal. So the one that goes across the entire half of the board.
Ooh. I had a Vienchetto on Christmas Day.
Yes. That's the one that comes in three flavors, right?
Yes, yeah.
I've been going full Queen's Gambit into it.
I think the most disgusting term from chess is a Dutch opening.
yeah.
Oh.
I haven't had a Dutch opening like that since the '80s.
I saw a thing on the shelf in Tesco today that I've seen before, but it sort of reminded me. I was freshly disgusted with it. It was as if I'd never seen it before.
Freshly, right. Okay. As if it was the first time you'd seen this.
Yeah, I was disgusted and new. Right. And I would love to have a serious conversation with whoever named this product, but you can buy to heat up in your oven and serve as a sort of snack at a party from Tesco, something called chicken lollipops.
Yeah. I've heard of like lamb lollipops, but those are like natural. That's because of the way the shape of the bone, right?
Yeah, I think that's a sort of tender, roundy little bit, yeah.
But a chicken lollipop, that's a satay, isn't it? That's chicken satay.
No, they're like breadcrumbed and stuff, you know, it's like oven food.
But it's on a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, just call it chicken on a stick. The thing about like lollipop makes it sound like you're supposed to cook it and then like... And like suck on it and like licking it and like be flirty with it.
I don't like it because it implies to me that the chicken is sort of raw or, yeah, like I have to sort of lick it. I have to erode the chicken slowly.
Yeah, raw and cold and glassy.
Chicken lollipops. I mean, it's a disgusting combination of words.
It's a really terrible bit of naming.
Even
it's really terrible.
Even just like chicken pops or something would be better.
Chicken Pops is a bit better.
Yeah, and you're supposed to get Chicken Pops when you're young.
And if you don't, it comes. You have to get much worse chicken when you're older. You're in danger of getting much worse chicken when you're older.
Yeah, and that's why people have those Chicken Pops parties. yeah, chicken lollipop is disgusting. I was trying to think of other like meat dessert combos.
That exist?
No, just like one. Like I was trying to think, can anything be more disgusting than this?
Lamb trifle.
Oh. Yeah, oh, no, thank you.
Ham pudding.
Ham pudding sounds like what the Victorians would call like a pig's brain.
Right, yeah.
I'll have ham pudding for breakfast.
You know what is the worst name for like a bit of meat / offal is sweetbread.
Yeah. It's a double lie, isn't it?
It's not bread. And it's not sweet. It's like a gangly bit of a lamb's throat.
The whole name is a prank. You like some sweet bread? Sure. Here's your sweet bread. Is that a neck?
Horrible.
I thought you were getting some brioche and then there's a fucking cow's neck on your plate.
Have you eaten much brain?
Have I eaten much brain?
Have you ever eaten brain?
No.
I've had. It's called brawn. I had fried lamb. I think lamb brawn at a restaurant.
Yeah, how was that?
Yeah, doesn't really taste of anything special. That's the thing. All these things we think are gross. In the end, they don't really taste of anything.
I mean, if they were really delicious, we'd all still eat them and would have been raised not to find them horrifying.
No, exactly it, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I said on this before, but I ate crocodile and...
Yeah, you said it tasted nothing.
Tasted nothing. And it's like, oh, right, yeah.
Do you now...
It's like a combination. It's like if squid married chicken.
That's a nursery rhyme, isn't it?
Yeah, the squid and the chicken.
The squid and the chicken went to sea in a diving bell made of ham. I'm pretty sure that was it. The squid and the chicken went to sea in a diving bell made of ham. One asked the other to marry his brother, and the other to marry his ma'am. There you go.
In that story, Chicken Pops was just the chicken's father who the squid had to ask the chicken's hand from. Oh, God.
Do you now have, after eating lamb brawn, the memories and knowledge of the lamb?
Yeah. My gambling skills have gone through the roof.
Yeah, you're a gambling addict.
Yes, gamble responsibly, everyone.
When the fun stops, stop jumping around a field in spring. Well, that's what they say about you, Phil, is that you're as strong as a lamb.
He's as cunning as a lamb. No, you're not very much.
He's got that real lamb-like cunning. Sort of man who you'd want to have your back when it comes to a gambling debt. So did you say gambling debt? No, no.
You heard me.
You heard me right.
Very clear.
I don't think I would eat brain.
Is there another meat where we specifically eat the babies? Or is it just lamb?
I do know that like a lot of pork is actually from pigs that are also very, very young. It's just that pigs grow and age differently, so we don't think of them as young. But in terms of number of months, they're certainly very young.
Good, good.
Good, fresh, yes.
Yes, yes. Young pigs. Young little pigs.
Speaking of, I made a... Did I mention this last week? That I made a pork broth. I can't remember what I said last week.
I don't think you did. We were definitely discussing the broth you've been making on a WhatsApp group.
Okay. Well, let's bring that WhatsApp group into the real world. Because I made me a pork broth from scratch. Just from bones and some garlic and some salt. And my word, it's delish.
And you were saying that you couldn't...
So good.
You couldn't hammer the bones.
I couldn't get into them, but like boiling them for long enough, they just kind of all fell apart anyway. So I got to all them little tasty nooks and crannies. They got in there. And you've made a proper stock when it turns into jelly in the fridge. And now it's just one single block of jelly.
Nice. Have it on toast. They say the sweetest part of a pig is the nook.
Crannies are a delicacy here, actually.
The local people, they boil their crannies for flavour.
They have cranny for breakfast here. They think it gives them a good start to the day. Put a couple of crannies in them.
Please, you are the honoured guest. It is tradition for you to suck the juice out of the cranny.
Oh, no, I couldn't. I couldn't, no. I couldn't have another cranny.
My nooks are stuffed with crannies and my crannies are stuffed with nooks.
How are you going to see in the new year the worst evening of the whole year?
The worst evening in the worst year.
Yeah.
I'm yet to find out. I have no idea.
The only appropriate
are there any parties going on, you know?
Yeah. The only appropriate tribute would be if everyone, as the year ended at midnight, just shat themselves.
A brown farewell.
Everyone just stood up, saluted, and filled their pants.
The Dutch opening. That's how the Dutch start their new year. It's called the Dutch opening to the year.
Well, that is how the Dutch do it, but they're blacked up when they do it.
Yeah, there have been a few campaigns over recent years to end it, but most Dutch people just don't see what the big problem is.
Look, Dutch people really love zwart poep.
And I'm looking at it now. This is it in Catalonia, in Spain? They have the Christmas figurine of someone pooping.
We got it's like a long time ago. Bud Pod, like in the teens, maybe someone said it should be our mascot.
That's right. I've got a Batman one.
A Kagana.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Caganer.
Spanish Christmas pooing. Spanish.
A little Christmas. Poopy man. A little poopy man who wants independence from Spain.
The strangest Catalan Christmas traditions. Yeah, it is Catalan. Why do Catalan Christmas traditions involve poo?
Put another log on the fire. It's Catalan Christmas. Is there an answer? Why do they involve poo?
I've not found it.
Maybe we should promote the podcast in Catalonia.
Yeah, they're obviously our audience.
Our gente.
Apparently in Catalan they have another one that's like a log, an actual log. A shit log.
It's a huge dump.
Yeah, there's a bunch of logs. They're shit obsessed there in Catalonia.
It would be great if Bud Pod became so popular in Catalonia that we were asked to become sort of British supporters of their independence drive. We start to see our faces being carried on signs and things.
I was just thinking that. Imagine being so proud of your Christmas poop tradition that you demand separation from the rest of Spain.
they're just lifting our faces up and down, chanting, La podcast de mierda!
Yeah.
Libertad para Catalonia. Escutar el Bud Pod.
They make figurines of us pooping.
Yeah.
And like lifting up like these huge papier-mâché floats.
Yes,
Bud
yes.
Pod, Bud Pod. And it's just us, like these huge figurines of us just going, just smiling, going through these crowds.
Yeah, walking in that kind of horrible mascot way.
Koji, Koji, Koji.
Well, in Spanish, it'd be Koji.
Yeah, Koji.
Koji.
Koji. Keep on yakking it.
What would that even be? Hasn't someone sent us that continuar al jacar? I can't remember. Should keep a spreadsheet of all the different ways of saying it. And all the and I've only just remembered all the different ways that bread sound like farts.
Yeah, yeah, I'm still very proud of that.
Bread. That's a classic. That's a classic.
Pan. Brot is the best one. It's still my favorite. Brot.
Brot. I still really like naan.
Man.
Oh boy. Well, a very farty new year to you all, listeners.
Yes. Hope you have a nice new year farty.
Yes, have a good new year's farty. Make sure it's a COVID safe farty.
What do you think you're going to do? I can't wait to see end 2020. Bye bye, 2020.
Bye bye, 2020. Don't let the door hit your ass on the way out. I'm not a big New Year's fan, so I'll probably just sit around. I mean, it's not very good, is it?
No, it's even in normal times, it's no good. It just is also a lot of stress.
It's a lot of stress, and it forces you to reflect on the year in an arbitrary 365-day-long chunk.
There's so much pressure. There's more pressure to have a good time on New Year's Eve than on your own fucking birthday, multiplied by everyone.
Yeah, it's everyone's birthday, and it's chaos.
Everyone desperate to have a better time than on their birthday on the same night.
It's like one of those ways that they make hell sound initially appealing and then ruin it, you know? In hell, every day is your birthday, but so is everyone else's.
As the old saying goes, hell is other birthdays.
Hell is other birthdays, and having to come to terms with that you're going to have to spend the month of January living like a monk to undo what you've done to yourself. Which is my plan. I'm going to live like fucking Rasputin. I'm just going to eat poison cakes and swim in frozen rivers.
Oh, I've just found that Hell is Other People is also a Korean psychological thriller on Netflix. That sounds good.
That's your evening sorted?
It sure is. Jean-Paul Sartre, apparently, said Hell is Other People. Although this says, Hell is Other People, .. misquoting philosophers. It says one of these, is it? That's not actually...
Oh. It's a well actually.
I can't be asked with a well actually right now.
It's still a good phrase. It doesn't mean the phrase doesn't make sense.
That's true.
Right, well, I guess, listeners, we will see you in 2021.
Yeah. When all this will finally be over.
Yep, there'll be no more problems at all.
Because this was a 2020 thing. Bye, 2020. It is a shame, though. 2020 was amazing for the New Year's Eve glasses industry.
Because
it had two... When are we going to have two holes like that again? Well, 2030. that was going to be ages away.
When? Yeah, those guys who sell those glasses, they play a long game.
They do. We need to get some scientists onto this. When are we going to have another 2 zeros in a year?
Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to be responsible for the party glasses in the year 1111. What a fucking nightmare.
In 8888, we'll be spoiled for choice.
Oh, my... Forget about it.
Can you believe... Yeah.
In 8888, a spider could wear a pair.
Gosh. I wonder if there will be an 8888. As in one, you know, recorded by human beings.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, we've done all right so far, but I don't know.
But our existence has been but a blink of the eye in the grand scheme of time.
That's it, like all those things where they go, if the whole world was a day, humans would be... dinosaurs would have died at 11 o'clock, and that whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just, it's another one of those things that initially impresses you, and then it just condenses everything to the point of meaninglessness.
Yeah, at the end you just go, oh, well, then, what's the point of anything? What's the point of anything, including this fact?
Yeah. Yeah. If you knew this fact, you shouldn't have told me this fact.
Yeah. But it is comforting to think that 2020 was merely a blink within a blink. Maybe that's why true. People talk about it in those terms. Yes, everyone have a great New Year's party, and a safe New Year's Eve, and much love and prosperity.
Crappy poo smears.
Crappy poo smear. How could I forget? Crappy poo smear.
Crappy poo smear.
Crappy poo smear for everyone and to all. A poo fight. A pooed fight. Yes. A food. I don't
know. Yes, Koji, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.